calling it now. Whoever enters number one in the Elimination Chamber tomorrow or
next week
will win. Whoa. There's only been one person to win at number one. Any guesses who?
John Cena.
Back in 2006, so it's been over a decade.
Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Freebird Rule Pro Wrestling Podcast. As before, your hosts here are me, Aaron.
This is Adam.
And I'm Kyle.
Last alphabetically.
All the time. It's alright. I just hate you guys with your A names. I'm just gonna change my name to A Kyle. Then you'll still be ahead of me. Damn it.
Yep.
You'll
still be last.
A-A-E.
Kyle. It's like those guys in the phone book that, like, it's like A number one plumbing. Like,
yeah.
You're just doing that to be in the front.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't make any sense.
The guy the guy in California who created the town Zizix. So it would always be the last of the alphabet, Z-Z-Y-Z-X.
Hey, that works.
All right. So today we're going to talk about a couple topics on here. First off on here, we just kind of talk about a couple things in the news from the last couple weeks since our last show. First thing on there I thought was really interesting is not this past week's NXT, but one before that, Johnny Gargano getting one more shot at the NXT title from Almas.
Yep.
Someone's going up to the main roster one way or the other.
Yeah, you think so?
I think so. If Almas loses, he's going up to the main roster because he already came up in the Royal Rumble and did it. Like as we talked about last time, had a really good showing for himself for sure.
Yeah.
So if he loses and Gargano gets his run with the title, then that happens. If Gargano loses, then since it's almost like a loser leaves town match in there, so. He's going to go up either to the main roster or at least to 205 Live.
I could see that. But then if he goes up, do they wait for the Ciampa stuff?
Right. That's,
like there,
that's
where's
a good
the
question.
Where's the payoff for that? I think that means Gargano needs to win, stay down, so you have Gargano versus Ciampa for the title. But I don't know. After the ending of that NXT match, I was kind of hoping that Almas would go in another direction as the champion and have Ciampa and Gargano go without a title. They don't need a title to have their feud.
That's really the way it seemed that promo was going to go until Almas came out.
Yeah.
As soon as Almas came out, I'm like, are they going to do one more title?
Yeah.
Because that's basically what Gargano was saying. He was just like, I don't need the, he's like, I'm calling you out, Ciampa. And then he just kind of inserted himself into this. Like,
yeah. Or maybe, I don't know, you think we'll see Almas go up before WrestleMania? Or would that be a post-WrestleMania thing?
I don't know. That's a...
Maybe you even build up to a triple threat.
Maybe. Or they're going to put him in the Battle Royal.
Yeah.
The Andre the Giant Battle Royal, like they've done with a couple of... Baron Corbin, Mojo Rawley, people like that when they were first starting to come up.
I was super excited when Baron Corbin won the freaking Andre the Giant Battle Royal because I wasn't expecting it, and I was there. I was like, oh, shit! Baron Corbin won!
Yeah.
That was the peak of my Baron Corbin fandom.
Yeah, exactly. You love Baron Corbin.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind him. He's not friggin', Roman Reigns or anything, but...
You mean he's not the best in the company?
Exactly.
You're right.
He's not being shoved down our throats.
Yep. No, I like Baron Corbin.
I wanted to like Baron Corbin, which is probably why I don't like Baron Corbin.
He tries too hard.
I when he came up, I was like, oh, this guy's cool. Let's see what his character is. And it did nothing. And then just ended up with this kind of like whiny, like, no one understands me.
He's a little generic still.
Yeah.
But
so
right.
I wanted to like Baron Corbin. So I don't know. Maybe I just feel betrayed. I was like, I wanted to like you. You were the chosen one.
Oh man, that means Baron Corbin's gonna be Darth Vader someday.
Yeah,
maybe someday he will, like, he'll find his footing and really be like the like one of the top heels for the company.
I would like that. That'd be cool. If he can get his character to a spot where it has more direction and more,
more to it. He's kind of bland, I think. But like, look at someone like The Miz. The Miz took a long time to get where he is, and people hate The Miz.
Yeah.
Now. And he's very good now as well. Like, I'll argue with anybody that Miz is definitely one of the top five guys on the roster.
Easily.
That, like, best talent. And if you don't agree with that, you're dumb.
Right.
He's top-notch. And Baron Corbin could get to that level. It just may take a long time. It took Miz a long time as well.
Yeah, sure. And he is. And he's one of the best, like, straight-up heels in there. Because, like you said, people hate him.
Yep.
He's doing his job right because people hate him. And he doesn't go back and forth a lot on here. He's a heel. He's good at being a heel. And he's going to stay a heel.
Remember when he tried to turn him face for that like period? And it was just so awkward. It was just not working at all. I think it lasted maybe they gave it like a year.
Yeah.
And it was like, this just isn't working. He's better.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and I'm excited. Speaking of that one on here and talking about the Johnny Gargano, I'm excited for Ciampa coming back.
Yeah.
Because his promo after he turned on Gargano was one of like the best heel promos ever. And I was so sad that I was going to have to wait so long for both of them to come back.
It's been a while.
Dude, Gargano has to win. He has to stay in NXT because you have to have that match in NXT. It won't have the same feeling, the same meaning if it happens on 205 Live or Raw, SmackDown, any paper. It has to happen in NXT.
Because no one's going to see it on 205 Live. Not no one, but fewer people are going to see it. Fewer people are going to care if it's on 205 Live. But on NXT, there's more passion behind
it. It has to happen at TakeOver. That's the only place it can happen.
So do you think that's the match for WrestleMania TakeOver is Ciampa versus Gargano?
I mean, it makes sense. As much as I like Almas, it makes sense. They have to do something. I really don't know because I don't see Almas losing a belt, but I don't see... I mean, could it be a screwy finish? Could we get a double? Could Ciampa just come out and beat the crap out of both of them?
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
A screwy finish. We don't get a clear winner, so...
Sets up something else on the road.
Gargano stays.
Yeah, maybe.
It also just is awkward to have Gargano leave right when Candice gets there.
Yeah.
Do you think it'd have a little bit of... At least a little bit...
Togetherness.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we're still 2 months away from WrestleMania. There's, right? True. Maybe a little bit less. Maybe just under 60 days. I don't know how many days there are, actually.
No, that sounds right.
Yeah, it sounds about right. Yeah, I mean, probably about 50 days, actually, because we're halfway through February already, because this year is flying by already. What the hell happened? Could have sworn I woke up yesterday. It was January 1st, but...
Yeah, I'm excited for how that goes, and a couple other things with NXT on there that we'll kind of cover as we're getting closer to WrestleMania. We've been talking about it on there, my kind of idea on how I think Sanity is... moving up sometime soon. I would love that.
Who is? Sanity. Sandy.
Sandy.
The way that they've done the mixed tag challenge and a focus on women's wrestling and on tag team wrestling where those are being built up really good. I think that basically it's a perfect time for Sanity to come up.
Yeah.
Because tag teams, factions and Nikki Cross with him being, you know, mixed tags and stuff like that. It's all kind of like, they're the perfect thing to put up into the main roster. And even have them come up kind of like the Shield, where they just show up and, you know, start mess with people for the first, you know, half a year that they're
mess with
in.
Tag teams, mess with single guys, mess with the girls.
Mess just with the mess championship with, matches.
Yeah, just
and
mess
like
with everything. Yeah, I dig it.
I like it.
Book it. Done.
Well, that's it. We fixed WrestleMania.
Yeah.
All we need to do is... make Brock Lesnar lose.
Yeah.
And make Roman look really, really strong.
Yeah. Which brings to our next topic on here, news. Because I had a point with this on here. Is there news that they are moving all the pay-per-views after WrestleMania to both Raw and SmackDown?
Dual branding.
They're going back to that. And I think, just when I heard that news on here, I thought that's going to put more emphasis on what's going to happen on TV on Raw and SmackDown during the week. Because right now, with the pay-per-views coming so often, it's like, well, they're not going to change the championship on TV because it's just going to wait till the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Now with this, they're going to do that. And I think that's also a signal that Brock Lesnar is going to lose the title and probably just leave.
Be done for a while.
Thank God.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things I looked up earlier. Because I thought, when I heard the rumor first, I thought they would keep both pay-per-views a month, or two pay-per-views a month, because they're like, 4 months that had double pay-per-views, and they got rid of them. So
that's good.
We've got WrestleMania in April, Backlash in May, Money in the Bank in June, Extreme Rules in July, SummerSlam in August, Hell in a Cell, which shouldn't be, like, I hate Hell in a Cell as a gimmick pay-per-view, in September, TLC in October, Survivor Series November, and Clash of Champions December. Like, that's the new updated schedule. So they dropped off a number of other pay-per-views. So hopefully... Oh,
no Great Balls of Fire this year?
No Great Balls of Fire. Oh, man. I was looking forward to... No, I can't even joke about that
no
one.
Was.
I can't.
Yeah, it is good for the point of having TV now matter. Raw and SmackDown now more important than ever. Raw and SmackDown didn't matter. All the pay-per-views, like every other week was a pay-per-view. It was way too much.
Yeah.
I do agree that's a good... the con that I see from it is just we're going to see the same guys every month. We're going to see Roman on every pay-per-view. AJ, that's good. But it's just a lot of the mid-card and lower-card guys, tag teams probably, especially with them bringing so much prestige with the girls. I think those are going to be the ones that are really going to hurt from...
Unless they're looking, again, at expanding it to another show on the network where you have like a tag team only thing or a smaller thing.
Yeah.
Maybe not that. And again, it could be a different, you know...
I can see them doing that, absolutely.
Well,
but it's just so much, another show to watch.
Another
what if they don't shorten anything? What if they make the pay-per-views 4 hours then? Make them a little bit longer? Or actually make the pre-show matter a little bit more and actually have like every pay-per-view. We're basically 4 hours already with the pre-show.
Right.
Put two matches on the pre-show every pay-per-view.
Yeah.
To kind of like build up to it. And if people, we talked about, I think, was it last time or the first show? The Usos and the New Day had a pre-show match that was incredible.
Amazing. It was better than most of the first half of the main card.
So, like, there's clearly, if you give some of those guys and girls the time and say, hey, you've got a 15-20 minute match on the pre-show, go out there and kill it, grab the brass ring, to use a phrase, and maybe utilizing the pre-show more could help. But, yeah, I'm definitely worried about losing some of those mid-card guys, too. Like, where's the Ty Dillinger in this now?
Yeah, totally.
Where's Sami Zayn when him and Kevin Owens' storyline is done? There's a lot of these guys that, unless they don't have every belt every time, maybe you have an IC this time, and then next pay-per-view we skip it because there's not that dramatic of a storyline for the pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't know. Also that might just mean that by WrestleMania that there's a lot of cuts being made.
They also can't do, because I remember whenever they first did this and they went from doing the separate brand pay-per-views to going joint again, it was clear at that point that Raw was a superior brand. Raw was always closing out the pay-per-views, whatever the Raw title was at the time, because I know it went back and forth a lot, was always closing out the shows, thus making SmackDown the B show. They can't do that again, especially if they're supposed to be equal. They got to have it where, SmackDown's closing out. The WWE title at this time is closing out pay-per-views.
Yeah.
You can't have the Universal title always in the main event.
No.
Always have Brock Lesnar. Always have Roman Reigns. You got to split it,
Do things differently. It would be nice to see... We've seen before where the world title has opened the show.
Right.
Have the Universal title open a show sometimes. Have a good match for it. After Brock is not champion.
Yes.
Because
that's not going to happen right now.
Yeah. But I don't know. I guess we'll see what they try to do with it. But
do you think this will eventually come to the brand extension ending? It's just the first step. I mean, I don't think it's going to happen, in 2 months, but possibly down maybe in a year, brand extension's over.
I could see it again.
I could see it. It's like you said, the main problem with not having the brand extension is just so much talent and only limited TV time. And Raw's already 3 hours every Monday, and then SmackDown's two, unless they're like 4 hours for one show, 4 hours for another show. There's no way that every talent is going to get featured on TV all the time unless they move more of their talent onto the network-only shows and kind of produce more of those. But again, that's a whole nother hour of just to see one person that you like, you have to watch this show on the network.
Yeah, I don't know. I could see it going away, but I hope it doesn't. Like, I kind of like the idea, and I know I don't think you like this idea, Adam, but like having the pay-per-view stay dual branded, but have the show stay individual, so you have Raw and SmackDown separate rosters, but then have one match on every show where like you know, the U.S. title, someone from Raw is challenging for the U.S. title. And if they win, they can take it back to Raw. Someone's challenging across a little bit.
Yeah.
Or challenging, you know, it's this Raw guy versus this SmackDown guy. The winner is the number one contender for a title on their show. So maybe you have someone like an Xavier Woods wrestle someone from Raw, and the winner gets a U.S. title shot or an IC title shot.
Yeah.
Kind of like the, to give those lower titles more... like number one contenders. We always see number one contender matches for the top titles. And then the guys in the mid-carder are kind of like, oh, hey, you're going to have a match for the IC title tonight because, and like maybe we could build that up a little bit more. And
yeah, there's been a lot
have
of
it mean more.
They've been doing a lot of just open challenges so that they don't have to have number one contender matches and stuff like that. But yeah,
I guess we'll see.
It'll be interesting to see what they do. I don't think the brand sets is going to end. I think if anything, I don't know. I'm gonna go into a whole tangent, a whole rant. So let's just stop. This is gonna take way too long.
Rant.
I'm not gonna rant.
All right. The other thing I had on here from news on here is the most recent one about the Rich Swann situation and having
bummed.
Yeah, I like Rich Swann a lot. You know, I thought that they were coming to a conclusion on that he wasn't guilty of anything, but. You know, I guess they opted to just part ways instead, so...
It's just all the bad press that's already attached to it on there. It can go, and in the indies, it's just going to be like, you know, we don't care as much about that. Because I think, I saw something on there, the House of Hardcore picked him up for his next
show. Oh, did they?
Nice.
Because Tommy Dreamer got him booked for a show in the future.
That's cool.
He'll be fine.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he'll be fine.
Unless he actually beat his wife and then fucked that guy.
Yeah.
But,
right.
But... I think everything is coming out saying that like he didn't, and that it was just kind of a disagreement, which, you know, anyone who's ever been in a relationship knows sometimes you disagree with someone.
Yeah. So. And you know, we'll see. Like, I think that the law enforcement just said that, or prosecutors or something on there just said that there wasn't enough evidence based on that, so we don't know. But if it comes out that he did, or if something happens again on there and it's some sort of repeat type thing,
then
that can't, you know.
That can't fly.
No bueno.
But that's definitely a loss to the 205 brand. But it also kind of, between that and Enzo, kind of gave us this tournament that's seeming to heating up.
How cursed is the Cruiserweight title?
It's crazy.
I think there's only been five champions are no longer with the company. Well, Neville's still there.
Kind of.
Rich Swann and Enzo.
Gone.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's weird, but... I don't know. I guess we'll see how it plays out.
The Cruiserweight tournament's been awesome. I don't know if you guys have been keeping up with it. If you guys have watched, I've watched every week.
I haven't watched yet. I've been behind. like I said earlier, I spent last night catching up on the last couple of NXT episodes, and still I'm even an episode behind on that. I've got like 2 weeks of MMC I need to catch up on. But it's actually funny. I'm noticing that I care more about NXT and the Mixed Match Classic. Or Mixed Match Challenge, than I do Raw and SmackDown lately, because I think of the pay-per-view overload. I'm like, oh, you know, I'll catch this match on the pay-per-view when it means more than just another Monday
weekly
night.
Weekly shows don't matter.
Yeah.
Totally.
So maybe that'll start switching me back towards Raw and SmackDown for a little while.
Yeah.
Mostly SmackDown. It's the better show.
It is. They got a better talent.
They do. They just need Balor. Balor needs to move over. Make the whole club move over.
I'd move the club. I'd move Joe.
Yeah.
And like Sasha and Bayley.
Yep. Done. And
then
sold.
Yeah. Get rid of Lana.
But no, dude. Because if you get rid of Lana, then you got to get rid of Rusev.
You got to get rid of Rusev.
Yeah, they're a package deal, man. That would be hard. And nothing's better than Rusev Day.
That is a good point,
dude. I hope Rusev has a really good match at WrestleMania. Like, I hope that he's not just thrown away somewhere. Like
Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
Where he's going to go.
Yeah, actually, and him winning that be awesome.
That'd be cool, that, absolutely. He'd be way better than Mojo, because Mojo is garbage.
Oh, God.
The worst WWE employee currently on any form is Mojo Rawley.
Yeah.
And I read that somebody put something up that they're trying to get Gronk.
Oh, God.
To sign the WWE. Like, really?
Yeah, he's popular. He's like almost as big as Ronda Rousey. I don't know.
She gets to leg him.
I could see, you know, if they put if Gronk gets picked up somehow and he trains for a little while, and he and Mojo have a tag team for a little while, whatever. It'll make some people that don't watch wrestling maybe tune in. But
maybe.
It's worked for them a couple times for like big events.
Yeah.
Named football players coming in and doing this, but I'm like
it's a, yeah, maybe there's your WrestleMania pre-show match. Mojo and Gronk versus Zack Ryder and anybody.
And Curt Hawkins.
And Curt Hawkins could win. He could get the pin on Gronk. Break the streak. Yes.
With
book it. We're fixing Edge everything. Managing
him from the side on there.
Yep. Yeah.
The former Edge heads.
Yeah. Oh, man. I like it.
Yes. Yeah. Oh. Solid fucking goal. Oh, I swore.
That's fine. I already marked it as explicit.
Okay, good.
Good. Awesome.
Oh, man. I made it 3 episodes before.
Oh, no. You did it last time.
Did I do it? Yeah.
You made it 1, Kyle. 1 episode.
Well, I made it less on ring awareness.
Good point.
Yeah, I swear sometimes I spend my day around children all day. I can't swear around any of them, so like when I'm not around kids, it just like comes out.
Yeah.
F-bombs left and right.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Kids.
All right, that's enough on the news on there. Next, I think we're just gonna talk a little bit about. Something, you know, some stuff about the Elimination Chamber on there.
Okay.
I was thinking on this, like, I was looking through just the history of the Elimination Chamber and just best competitors that have been in the Elimination Chamber moments, best chambers on here. The one I was looking it up on here, and I was thinking about my favorite matches on that. I think the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view from 2012.
Uh-huh.
That's the one that I liked the most. Both matches, because they had 2 Elimination Chamber matches in that one. But that was the one where the World Heavyweight Championship was held by Daniel Bryan, and the WWE Championship was held by CM Punk.
Mm.
And they both went in there, and they both won.
Okay.
And they both, you know, retained on that. So I was like, yep, that one's got to be my favorite, because my 2 favorite guys
won.
Kept their championships in those, so...
I remember just Brian's chamber was just filled with the randomest people.
It was. It was like...
I remember, like, Orton got injured and he had to get pulled out of it. So then they randomly put Santino in there.
Yeah.
I was looking at it here. It is... Daniel Bryan, Santino Marella, Wade Barrett, Cody Rhodes, Big Show, and Great Khali, of which...
2 are still employed by WWE.
Wade Barrett, Cody Rhodes, and The Big Show might be... a threat,
yeah.
But Great Khali and Santino Marella was like, you just leave, just Santino, just leave him in there. He doesn't need to be in the match.
Yeah, was that when was that? That was 2012. So that was right before his wrestle. That was right after WrestleMania 29. Then right.
Right before, it was February.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
So right before. So that was before. So Wade Barrett and Cody Rhodes, like looking at those guys, that's definitely who they saw as like the competition for Daniel Bryan. Because they didn't see Daniel Bryan as the top guy.
Yeah.
You know, it would take them another year and a half to really realize that.
Yeah.
And I mean, nothing against Cody Rhodes or Wade Barrett. I think those are both actually really good dudes.
I love both of those guys.
Still wrestling and kind of bummed that they're not with the company. But Cody is obviously making great for himself. Santino's inclusion is super weird. Khali is just, you know.
Sometimes they just stick people in. And it's like, oh, it's a big guy and he's a threat and you don't want him in there. It's like, yeah, but he can't move.
Yeah.
Can't do anything.
Khali,
can't even bump.
I've never seen Khali as a threat in anything.
Yeah.
I'm like, I get what they're trying to do, and maybe some people do because of his size. They see him, they're like, man, he's huge. He's got to be devastating. But
remember when Khali came down for the Punjabi prison?
Yes.
I was just like, oh.
Yep.
Sorry, I don't have that in.
No, it's. Did you hear, like, backstage he thought he had won the championship because he interfered somehow? Like, how does that even make sense?
Yeah, what?
Like, you interfered in a match so you win the championship? No, you helped the champion retain, but...
Right.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, and then CM Punk.
Yeah.
Love Punk.
That one, same show, was CM Punk versus The Miz, Chris Jericho, Kofi Kingston, Dolph Ziggler, and R-Truth.
Mm.
And I like all those guys, except for maybe R-Truth. I mean, I'm just kind of meh on R-Truth.
I like R-Truth. I like him and Goldust as a tag team.
Yeah.
He doesn't strike me as, like, the top guy, you know, and which, again, that to me is, like, weird booking. Like, everyone in that match should have an opportunity to be the champion if they win. And R-Truth?
It was random.
Yeah, it's random.
He's been in a few Elimination Chambers, too.
Same with Kofi, but I mean, the WWE just has never, besides being in the New Day before and anytime before that on there, he was never one that seemed like he was ever going to get a real big, big push, like mid-card at the most.
Yeah.
But I think they put him in there because, like, Kofi jumps off a lot of stuff. Yeah. He'll be able to grab the chains and jump off of it and do
It's like the same reason you put in Rob Van Dam. He's going to climb on something and jump off.
Yeah.
You know, those guys are crazy. Yeah, I was looking back through mine, too, to see, like, what my favorite one was. And I think it was 2006. I might have forgotten the year. It was the year Edge was in the first chamber match, lost his title, and then jumped Kofi Kingston at the beginning of the second match and inserted himself into the match and ended up winning. 2009. That's right like now. A six. It's just upside down.
Yeah.
God, Adam. Jeez.
No, I would have said that was probably my favorite too. That was like No Way Out. That was a good one. It was just so random because he went in as the WWE champion.
Yep.
He was the first person out.
Yeah.
So you knew you were going to get a new champion. And then he jumped Kofi in the World Heavyweight title chamber, takes his spot.
Yep.
And he wins.
And I think that's cool. And I think
super cool.
We watched that one at Sneakers, didn't we? That was about the time we were starting to hang out. So, which is crazy that we've probably been hanging out for like almost 10 years now.
That is crazy.
What? Friendship.
I lived in California at the time. I didn't know any of you.
Yeah, you didn't know any of us.
It was funny because then the next year, I remember Kofi was in Elimination Chamber again. He was all looking behind him, looking for Edge.
Like, man, Kofi, like, he's one of those guys, too, that he remembers, like, things that, like, a year later, looking around, like, even if no one else remembers, like, Kofi remembers that thing and, like, adds it. So people that are, like, the really hardcore fans are like, oh, I get it. I know what you're doing.
Right.
Look, that's awesome. Like, just those little moments that he throws out there when he's not throwing himself out there.
Yeah. And just looking at the history on here, any guesses without looking up any other stats on this one, who the person is who's won the most Elimination Chambers?
I already know.
Who's won the most?
So it's just Kyle guessing.
Triple H?
Yes, it is Triple H. He's won 4.
Jeez. Out of how many? Like 18, 19?
20.
20? And we're about to have 21 and 22.
Right.
That's a lot. That's 4 wins, but, you know, it's good for him.
4 out of, I think, the 5 that he's been in. Let me see. How many has he been in? But that's he's also in, you know, in a position where he's like, I want to be in that match. I'm going to go do that. And I want to win.
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, Elimination Chamber, it's a fun, unique pay-per-view. Like, I love the idea of multi-man matches, like a fatal, or not a fatal, like an elimination four-way. Like, I love that. I love the fact that you don't have to get lucky. Like, in a fatal four-way, you can get lucky and pin one guy and win. But an elimination, you have to eliminate everyone.
Yeah.
And so, like, and I think even the staggered, it's kind of like the Royal Rumble where you've got people coming in at a different moment. You know, this guy's fresher. This guy's been in there long. Can he overpower and fight through this pain?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, there's so much good story that can be told in a match with that.
Yeah. I think when it's done, not all the time. Because now we have a 7-way chamber. Now, and then we have the girls' chamber. And then the next pay-per-view at Fastlane, we have a fatal 5-way. It's like, dude, it's happening too often. But I know because they have such a stacked talent pool.
Yeah.
They have to kind of do these things. I think we're going to see a lot more, especially with going back to the whole brand pay-per-views now.
Here comes the rant.
No.
Wait for it. Dun, dun, dun,
dun. Adam.
Sorry.
Just rant.
No. I'm not going to do it. It's going to take too long.
We'll be here till like 9 o'clock tonight. Exactly. It's a 9-hour episode, and Adam's still not done, guys. But we're just gonna stop it here because we're exhausted.
Okay. We're gonna edit it all out anyway.
Oh, who's been in the most Elimination Chambers?
The Miz.
No, I actually just looked it up.
No.
I did.
Yeah. You guys have your computers in front of you cheating over there.
Well, I had just looked it up when he asked the question, so
this has only been just in 2.
Yeah. There's been how many have they been in to be in the most?
They've been in 8.
Holy cow.
And that's two more than
the number two.
Yeah.
Huh. Would be Cena again?
No.
No?
Cena's one of the... He's been in second most. He's been in six.
Hmm. So someone who's been in more than Cena. But you said Triple H has only been in five.
Six, actually. Sorry.
Six.
So he's okay. Won four out of six.
He's been in eight. He's won one. He's also got the most eliminations.
Oh, the Kane?
No.
No?
Most eliminations in of all chambers. He's got the most by a lot, too. And he's got the most by three.
Are they still on the roster?
No. Yes.
Okay. Yes,
two,
and no.
Two different answers. Yes, they're on the roster. No, they're not.
If you go to WWE.com, you will see their face still under the roster.
Daniel yes. Bryan?
No.
No? Who? I don't know.
You know?
I don't know. He's looking at it. He's not a guessing. It's just me guessing because you guys are both looking at it.
You're wearing his shirt, but not his shirt.
That doesn't make any sense at all.
He's wearing a Daniel Bryan Flying Goat shirt.
Yeah. Didn't I just say Daniel Bryan?
No. But nope. You're wearing his shirt.
Oh, Jericho! Mother. Okay, Jericho, goat.
The goat!
It's still Daniel Bryan.
Daniel Bryan's awesome, man.
No, yeah. That's, Jericho, yeah. So, yeah. All right. I get it. He's with and he's not. And he's, all your confusing answers make sense now.
My riddles?
Yes.
It all makes sense again.
Adam the
Riddler. That's a cool stat.
That is a cool stat. So, yeah.
So, looking at this upcoming one that's coming up here next weekend, the 25th, it's made up right now of Braun Strowman, Elias, John Cena, which I have no idea why John Cena's in this. He doesn't need anything else, just...
Him and Elias.
He needs that 17th title, bro.
Yeah, I get him and Elias on here, but he doesn't need anything of like pretending to
no.
be getting another championship. No. He doesn't need to outdo Ric Flair. Match Ric Flair, okay. Leave it at that.
Okay.
Roman Reigns, The Miz, Finn Balor, and Seth Rollins.
So it's our first ever seven-way.
How do we feel about that?
It'll be the same. People get smashed into really hard things and wish they had not signed up for this match.
I dig it. It's something different at least. You know, yeah.
True,
It was like the same thing when they did the tag teams inside the chamber.
Yeah.
I thought that was very cool. It's just a little different. I like the idea of multi-man matches and adding another dude to it. Like, that already changes the dynamic of the beginning of that match because you start with a triple threat. You know, and that's...
There's a chance for two eliminations before anyone else even enters. Probably won't be.
Potentially, but I don't think there will be either.
Or at least one.
Unless it's like Braun and Elias.
Yeah.
But then that doesn't do anything.
I think you're probably right that John Cena and Elias, like Elias is going to eliminate John Cena, and then that's going to tie that up for Mania. Mm-hmm. So John Cena's not in any kind of like title picture. It's just a basically John
singles
putting
match.
Elias over.
Yeah.
Who's great. I've really enjoyed Elias.
I'm shocked by Elias, actually. Like, in NXT, he was just kind of there.
Yeah.
He's kind of like Baron Corbin, too. Like, he was just kind of... He did okay. He wasn't bad. He wasn't great. But he's really found his footing on Raw, like, way more than Baron Corbin has. Like, every time he comes out and he's like, I'm about to sing, I'm just like, dude, I hate you. Which is exactly what they want. And then it was pretty awesome, like, this last week, seeing him get destroyed with, like, was it like a cello or something?
Yeah.
or a bass, like getting murdered by Braun. It's cool.
I think it's something about, because he didn't appeal as much to the NXT audience.
Yeah.
But he had that wider audience appeal. Yep. I think a lot of people kind of see him because the Rock used to do like the Rock concert and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So they're seeing something like that, a little like fun entertainment gimmick. Mm, but
yeah.
But then, you know, he can actually wrestle when he gets to it. But whereas the NXT crowd just cares about how you wrestle, they don't care as much
as the character.
About the character.
That's
a good point.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's the opposite for a lot of people that NXT loves. They come up to the main roster and they kind of flounder.
Yeah.
Right.
Or they're just not at the same level. Because, I mean, obviously, like, Tyler Breeze, I would say, is not floundering at all. But he's not the top champion. He's not an IC champion. He's not a US champion. You know, he's in a pairing with Fandango, which is freaking hilarious and amazing, but it's not what I thought they would have done with a former NXT champion either.
Yeah.
He's not a former NXT champion.
Didn't he win?
Tyler Breeze? No.
Did he had a couple matches, didn't
he? Yeah, he fought for he wrestled at some takeovers for the title.
Well,
still. I mean, he was still an upper guy.
Yeah, he's definitely an upper
NXT
guy.
For a period, for sure.
He didn't win at all? Maybe I had a fever dream where Tyler Breeze won and he was just the best. I don't know. Things I dream about.
He had a selfie stick with him and
hit
someone with it. Moving into the other Elimination Chamber match, Alexa Bliss, Bayley. Oh, who do you think's
gonna win? I want Balor to win.
Yes.
Balor versus have the Demon versus the Beast at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Have the first Universal Champion defeat the current Universal Champion, like this unstoppable monster. That to me is a very good story.
Yeah.
It might not be the best match Balor could have. Like, match wise, Balor versus Seth Rollins for the title would be an infinitely better match wrestling technical wise.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the story and the moments you could tell, I think Balor beating Brock, you know, the Demon defeating the Beast is the story there.
That'd be cool.
That would be a really good one. As far as who I think they're going to put through, it'll probably end up being Roman Reigns.
Yeah, I think we all probably think that, unfortunately.
But I think Balor, or some sort of false finish where Balor and Rollins get put into a triple threat against Brock, because it seems to me Brock ends up always in triple threat matches because he can't carry a match by himself.
Right.
And then we have a good... They both attack Brock right away, get him out, and then they go on to have a good match.
Yep.
One of those. Definitely not The Miz, John Cena, Elias on there. And I'm pretty sure if Braun Strowman comes in when there are more than two or three people, everyone's just going to focus on him, and he's going to do some damage, but...
He'll be the quick elimination.
He's the one that everyone's going to focus their attention on to get him eliminated.
Miz hits a scroll-crushing finale. Cena hits the AA. Yeah, everyone hits all their finishers on him, and then...
Everybody jumps on him and pins him.
Hey, you know what? That's a good way to do it, though.
Everyone gets the elimination.
Yeah.
All right, so
the women's.
The first women's one. We've got Alexa Bliss. Mm-hmm. We've got Bayley. We've got Mandy Rose. We've got Mickie James. Sonya Deville. And Sasha Banks.
How do you guys feel about just them doing a women's chamber? Does it feel like they're just trying to do women's first too soon? Especially with, I mean, half of the participants in that match, looking at the recent call-ups.
Yeah.
I mean, do they really... I feel like if you're going to do it first, it should be... You're going to have... I mean, the Rumble, definitely 100% behind. Yeah. I'm behind this, definitely. I'm not saying they don't deserve it. But I'm saying, wouldn't you want to showcase six of the best girls in there?
Sonya and Mandy are good. I don't see them as like top contenders yet either.
Yeah, wouldn't you rather have like Naomi and Becky?
Yeah,
even Carmella in there.
Again, there's your dual branding. Put half and half. You know, right. if you had done that, but
yeah,
I don't know. I'm stoked for the women. I hope they have a good match. I'm worried about the safety a little bit, but I'm worried about the men's safety as well. That is a dangerous match.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm always worried about that. I'm sure that they can do some good stuff, and maybe they'll do the right... You know, the men's match is a bunch of big dudes that are going to be throwing each other into and around everything.
Yeah.
The women don't need to do that as much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can tell a different story, a different type of match. So I think it's cool. I wonder if we'll see Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville face off against each other, or if they might just be like those quick eliminations where they're not even in the ring at the same time since they're part of a faction. Mickie James, also, she's just kind of in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I see the other women doing more stuff.
I think part of the story that's going to go on through here, kind of like what we were talking about with John Cena and Elias in the men's one, is Bayley and Sasha are going to eliminate each other because they've been building tension between those two.
Yeah.
True.
And I think they're going to have a non-title match at Mania. I think they're kind of building towards that. And so my prediction for this one on there is that Alexa Bliss retains.
Yeah. I think that makes sense.
Plus, they've also been kind of building that tension between Alexa Bliss and Asuka.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think that that's probably a safe bet with all the girls that are in there.
And I guess that's it, too. Like, yeah, you've got Nia Jax and Asuka, but they're in their own match. They're not in this chamber.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It feels kind of like they could do more than Sonya and Mandy, you know.
I don't know
how they possibly do.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. I don't know how I feel about Asuka having to defend but not defend her title shot. Mm-hmm. Where, I mean, she's getting it regardless, but if Nia wins, oh, she gets to go to WrestleMania too.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know so how she's I feel added about to that. It. Exactly. I feel like, well, the Rumble is special. It should only be for that person. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
I don't know if I agree that Nia should get the shot.
The only thing I could think of on the other is that they're trying to build because they don't see Alexa Bliss being, you know, how she's won her championship and how she's defended it and things like that on there through being a heel and kind of like tricking and stuff like that.
Right.
They don't see a match between her and Asuka being a big enough draw. So they're going to make it a triple threat. Bliss, Nia Jax, and Asuka. And they're going, because Asuka and Nia Jax are going to go after each other in this. And you're going to see a tension between Bliss and Nia Jax, who are frenemies.
Right.
And then, you know, whether or not they're going to attack each other or whether or not they're going to team up on Asuka. I guess they're seeing maybe that more as a draw.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely... I mean, but then you would need Asuka to lose before WrestleMania in order for Nia to get in that match.
Yeah.
Is that something that we see happening? Will that hurt Asuka's kind of mystique, especially heading into the biggest show? Like, she's had this streak since she was in NXT. Like, are you going to end it before WrestleMania, before she... After she wins the Rumble, before she gets her title shot? Like, it just doesn't make...
Yeah.
No, that doesn't...
It would hurt her so much, I feel.
Maybe that match will just go to, like, a double DQ or no contest count out, something like that. My favorite.
Double, yeah.
Yeah.
Time limit draw.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely a possibility.
For sure.
We've seen a lot of that kind of stuff where, you know, they come back and they talk to Kurt Angle. It's like, it's not fair. And he's like, all right, it's a triple threat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Leave me alone.
You push over.
Yeah. I mean, I hope it's a good match. I mean, the Royal Rumble was. The women's Hell in a Cells have been. The women's Falls Count Anywhere is like, I've not.
But those were all just like the Hell in a Cell and the Falls Count Anywhere was Sasha and Charlotte. Like, those were your two of your best at the time.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't put Mandy Rose versus Charlotte, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree.
Not taking anything away from her, from Mandy.
Yeah.
I think she's awesome.
No, I like Mandy. I like Mandy. I love the way Corey Graves talks about Mandy. It's just hilarious. I like Sonya too. I think they're both good wrestlers. I don't think they're bad at all, but I don't know if, they're the same tier as Sasha and Bayley.
Yeah,
and
they just haven't been built up that.
Yeah.
Like that yet.
By next year, maybe they could be. But
oh, yeah, totally.
So I think a little bit it is them kind of just jumping the gun and being like, hey, we need a women's first Royal Rumble. We're going to do an Elimination Chamber. Let's just do a women.
Yeah. You know,
kind of without.
I feel like maybe, just looking at the card on here again, I feel like maybe Mickie James is a last-minute substitution. I think originally they probably wanted the full Absolution in there, and they wanted Paige in that. But with her not being there, they put Mickie James in that just to fill it out.
I could see that.
Because I think that may have been a better story on there, having that full team in there.
Yeah.
And then everyone kind of having to try to, like, team up against them, and then...
Oh, yeah. No, totally.
No, I totally agree with that. That I think that, having Paige there was definitely probably the more original plan, and then, you know, things just kind of didn't happen that way.
And you have all of the... You have pretty much every girl now involved in the chamber. That's on Raw, I should say. Of course, you have Paige and Fox are out with injury, unfortunately. But you only had 7 girls, really, to choose from to put in that match, including Nia. Because why would you put Asuka in there when she already has her title shot, you know? I mean, I guess you could have, and if she wins the belt, well, it just wouldn't make sense,
It wouldn't make as much sense. You just get the shot early.
Yeah.
Yeah, or it could be, leave Asuka out of it and see who Asuka's opponent is.
Right. It was, the thing that kind of, they didn't have to fight to get into the women's chamber like the guys did. The guys all had to win qualifying matches. The girls were just given the opportunity because there's not enough girls. Like, I really think splitting up the girls is a terrible choice.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is. We'll see what happens. I'm still excited for the match.
Yeah.
I think they're kind of rushing it, but I'm still excited to watch it for sure.
Yeah. So that's what you think. Lana's going to jump in somehow, and they're going to win. It's rushing it.
But <Ba-dun-dun.
laughs> oh, that'd be awesome.
What do you want?
That's not what I meant, but yeah.
What are you going to bet? Strowman gets eliminated and comes back out and tries to lift the cage.
I don't know if that would work.
Yeah. That's just going to be his thing.
He's tried to lift everything else. It's like Stone Cold and driving trucks. It's just going to be him throwing trucks.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. Elimination Chamber should be fun.
Yeah.
I think the women will start the show or be in the first hour or so and not close the show. I think that'll be the men.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But
that leads us into our top five topic today.
Yeah.
And so our top five topic this time is top five female performers in WWE. Current roster only, not any classics on that. Since
yep.
Kyle went last alphabetically for the roll call, he gets to go first. If we even get a word in after Kyle gets all of his top five or
no, you said 50. Top 50 earlier, but okay, I'll limit it to five.
This is gonna be interesting. How hard was this for you to do, Kyle?
It was actually the first four were pretty easy.
Okay.
The fifth one. I had two women that I was like so close and I couldn't really figure out. And they're both relatively new. So I'm actually going to start at the bottom and work my way up. Honorable mention.
honorable mention? We can do this?
Yeah.
Apparently.
Honorable mention.
New rule. Honorable mention.
20 girl honorable mention.
Dakota Kai.
Okay.
She was the one who didn't just go, but she's barely done anything really in WWE.
Yeah.
So far. Like her stuff in the Mae Young was good. But she hasn't really done a lot other than being squashed by Shayna Baszler. I like her. I think we'll see a lot more from her.
Okay.
So that takes me to number five, who's also new, Candice LeRae. Again, she hasn't done a whole lot, but her interference in the Gargano Almas match was perfect.
That was pretty awesome.
They had a mixed tag team match like a couple nights later. She's done her in the Mae Young.
Mm-hmm.
I think big things from her in the future. So she's number five. Number four. Oh, what the hell did I do? I have number four and number two is the same person on my list.
So I guess Dakota gets in, right? I guess Dakota gets in.
No, I totally... That means I messed somebody up. Number four I have on my list is Alexa Bliss, but it's probably supposed to be Bayley.
Okay.
Or Sasha Banks. What did I do? I don't know what I did. I jacked up my whole list, apparently. I wrote this out. Like I've been thinking about like the last week. I wrote it out on my phone, so I'd have a list.
Apparently you didn't proofread, Mr. Teacher.
No, I didn't proofread crap.
He's going off book. He's going to have to.
So, but I think Bayley. I love Bayley. Mm-hmm. I think she's very good. She had some great matches on NXT with her and Sasha Banks.
Totally.
Kind of hasn't had the same hype of run on the main roster. But still, every time she's out there, she does very well, and she's great. Number three, Peyton Royce, the iconic duo, one half of the iconic duo, just another just top notch talent. I think she's good. She's got the look. She can talk. Gotta love listening to her talk. That accent, and she's doing a good thing. Like I want to see her with the championship for NXT for a little while.
For sure.
Yeah,
she's stunning, man.
Yeah, I'd love to see that.
I'd say iconic.
Yeah.
Iconic for sure.
Yeah. Number two, who I had at number four as well, Alexa Bliss. Her run as champion has been blissful. You know, it's been great. She's doing what she needs to do. She's playing it really well. You know, the fact that she's like 4 foot nothing and still out there wrestling girls that are like literally almost a foot taller than her, she's awesome. She can keep up with them. She can go. You know, watching and looking at like the stuff where they've shown on the documentaries, like her personal life struggles. She's awesome. And then my number one top female right now in all of WWE, Nia Jax.
Wow.
Nia Jax. I think she is just fantastic. She's a very different woman than we've seen. I think she's different in even the way like some people like have compared her to like Awesome Kong.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she's even different than that because Awesome Kong was big. And kind of powerful, but like Nia Jax is really just shown to be a powerhouse and dominating. And I love Nia Jax. I think what she does, how she carries herself in the ring, how she carries herself out of the ring. You know, like, I don't know if you guys follow her on Twitter, but man, there's some people out there that try and shame her for her size. And she shuts that shit down. Like, she's, She's like, great for her. Like, that's, she's awesome. I think she looks fantastic. I don't.
Yeah, no, you know, for
like,
sure.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we're used to like stickly women, you know, a lot of the time being like the look, but
yeah.
And I don't, none of the current superstar females really fit that look at all. Like, Nia Jax is just, she's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm very much a big fan of her, you know, even though I think she stopped using her finisher the way that I suggested to her. Remember when I did that?
With the leg drop?
The leg drop. She used to do the leg drop and then she'd roll around into the pin. Mm-hmm. And like, one day I tweeted out, I was like, hey, what if you just like did the leg drop and stayed in the pin? And like a month later on NXT after the next tapings, she did that. And I was like, that's awesome. It just looked better because you just dropped her leg on them and that was it. Like, their opponent didn't move. She didn't need to move. She just was like, you can't get up. You're stuck.
Yep.
Yeah.
But yeah, Nia Jax is the top female talent for me right now.
Nice. That's awesome.
Adam, you go next. We're going to go backwards.
Yeah.
And go ka.
Backwards.
Instead of ak.
Ka-ka.
I would have had Bliss on mine because I think she's been really good.
You can have Bliss. We can share.
You can be, still want to be different.
Oh, my God.
So I'm going to go with Ruby Riott as my number five. Just somebody that I think is different for sure. Again, she doesn't look like your typical WWE girl, but she can go.
Yep.
And it was surprising to see her come up on the main roster when she did, for sure. I didn't expect it.
I was not expecting it. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool to see her in that role. As she's obviously clearly the leader of the Riot Squad.
Yeah. Yep.
But.
wait a minute. Wait.
It's not the Logan Squad.
Oh, man. Wow. My mind just got blown.
And she can go in the ring. I mean, she's really good.
She's very good.
She's very, very good.
I'm excited to see what she does. I think she has a bright future, definitely. And I'm glad that they called her up when she did. I was kind of bummed at first. Like, oh, man, she could have done so much to NXT. Yeah. But now it's like, the girls were really, they really need, like, really good girls.
Yep. Yeah.
And she wasn't doing too much. She was just kind of getting her feet wet in NXT. Now she can do a lot more.
Her versus Nikki Cross, yeah. I was the same way. I wanted her to stay in NXT to see more of her versus Cross, but her going up, I think, has been much better.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Next up, I'm going to go with Mandy Rose, just because it's number four, Mandy Rose. I think just because a lot of people are kind of like, oh, she's just Eva Marie Chu. I'm like, she can actually wrestle.
She can wrestle.
Yeah, she's actually done some impressive
stuff. She's way outclassed.
Yeah. Oh, she's way. God. Yeah.
And she's hot.
Yeah, of course her looks aren't hurting me putting her at number four. But I think that she's been impressive. I think aside from Ruby Riott, I say she's probably been, probably Sarah Logan, she's probably the most impressive. I like her more than Sonya. I like her more than Liv,
mm-hmm.
for sure, out of the recent NXT call-ups.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was questionable to see her, especially because she wasn't on NXT. She had like three matches in NXT, and then boom, she's on the main roster. But I think she's going to impress. She's got the looks. I think that she's going to impress with her wrestling ability. I think she's going to shock a lot of people. And I definitely expect her to do a lot in the future. Number three, I'm going to go with Kairi Sane. The winner of the 2017 Mae Young Classic. Been really cool.
I do like her.
I didn't know anything about her prior to Mae Young Classic. Her elbow's awesome. She's small. She's petite. Again, different from, I think the only girl who she's bigger than is probably Bliss. She's probably about the same size as Sasha.
About the same,
I would say. And it'll be interesting to see what she does in NXT, and you're going to get obviously the similarities between her and Asuka. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we don't see, I mean, I don't think she's going to, Asuka's dominating and she's a beast.
Yeah.
I don't think Kairi's staying. Obviously I'm pretty sure she's lost. Yeah. So I'm excited to see, and her gimmick is weird, but
I love it.
One of my favorite bits was from the Mae Young Classic when JR called her a yachts person.
A yacht person.
Yeah.
Yachts person.
Yeah.
But so every time she comes on now, I tell my wife, I was like, look, it's the yachts person.
I thought that was, that was Michael Cole at the Rumble when she came out, wasn't it?
No, that was JR in the Mae Young Classic who called her a yachts person.
Yeah. That's silly.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yacht person. That's awful.
I'm going to go with number two. Damn. I got to go with Sasha. Sasha Banks. She is going to be hopefully turning here soon because Sasha as a babyface, I feel, I mean, it worked a little while, but I feel like it's time for her. I feel she's lost. She's been lost in the shuffle, especially with all the new girls that have come up.
Mm-hmm.
But she's just kind of just been there. And now I feel like she's going to be able to really get back on track with the new character turn. Really, really milk that boss persona.
Yeah.
Yep.
And really drive that into her character now. So I'm excited, definitely, for her. And I could see her, especially as a heel, being the one to beat Asuka down the road. I'd say maybe like SummerSlam or something.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Depending on where Asuka is at that time. At number one, Asuka. I mean, she's just killing chicks left and right.
Yeah.
She can go in the ring. She's had amazing matches with Bayley. She had amazing matches with Ember Moon. Pretty much everybody. I'm excited to see whenever she eventually goes for Charlotte. I think that will be who she faces at WrestleMania, honestly. And that'll be an awesome Mania match to really cement the women being able to compete with the guys.
Yeah.
Always have a fatal four-way or a six-way or whatever.
Yep.
You have to, at some point, have a really solid women's match at a big show like WrestleMania. And I think that Asuka and Charlotte can do it. And just, again, it's just different from everybody else. I'm impressed with her streak and how long it's lasted. I'm surprised that WWE didn't end that streak within her first month of being on the main roster.
Yeah.
She's pretty much the best NXT women's champion ever. Will anybody be able to end her streak? I don't think it should be broken.
It'll be years before
anyone
attempts anyone else to break that streak now.
For sure. So, yeah. She's doing great things. She's wanted somebody to watch.
Mine is in no particular order. Everyone else put theirs in numeral order.
Kyle started. I just followed.
Yeah. Okay. So, the first one that I have on mine is Charlotte.
Nice.
Just because she... When I first remember seeing Charlotte on there, she had the Divas Championship and then had gotten the Women's Champion, and she started that whole as a heel with her dad helping her win matches.
Yep.
But even as a heel and with you know having her dad help her win these matches on there, she just looks strong.
Yeah.
Like she like we talked about, you know, body types and previously who has been the the Women's or the Divas Champions on here and the body types that WWE has tended to go towards or gravitate towards on there as their top women. She doesn't fit that.
Mm-hmm.
She's super tall and she just looks strong. She just looks like she works out all the time on there, and probably because she does. And she just is really, really good in the ring. And she's really, she just, you know, looks really strong in the ring and does really, really well. And she can do, you know, a heel or a, you know, heel or baby face on there and be believable as either one.
For sure.
So I really like that. People, you know, performers and wrestlers who can do that are generally the ones that last the longest. A la like Chris Jericho or people like that. One that I really like, and I'm always happy when she comes up on NXT. I don't see her as often on there, but I liked her in the Mayhem Classic and I liked her in NXT. Lacey Evans.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like Lacey Evans. Again, she is another one. I think she was a Marine.
Yeah.
And like her story and then her ring apparel, the whole like pin-up thing is just cool.
Yeah.
It's just a cool idea. I really like that. And again, just looks really strong. Looks like she could beat the crap out of you any day of the week without even thinking about it.
Yep.
But I really like her in the ring and... I really like her. Becky Lynch.
Yeah. Straight fire.
Mm-hmm. I've liked Becky Lynch on there since I didn't see much of her in NXT because I didn't watch NXT at the time, but when she came up to the main roster, I was just like, she's really awesome. Her in the ring is just awesome. I was kind of sad when she was out for a long time, but I'm glad she's back now. And
Straight fire, maybe.
Straight fire, yes. possibly. My next one was Nia Jax. For the same reasons that you already talked about. She's awesome. She has a sense of humor on her social media and these other outlets that we've seen. So she's not just always serious, because wrestlers who take their characters, there's a fine line between taking your character too seriously and never breaking character, never doing this, and having fun with it. Because I mean, you are living kind of like this awesome dream of being a wrestler. So having fun with it on there, and I like to see that with wrestlers, whoever they are. And my last one, and just because I love seeing her, and just she's so unpredictable and makes matches fun, is Nikki Cross. Just like I said, just makes matches fun to watch when she's in them, because she can, she has someone, they can, if it's a triple threat, I think it was a triple threat, her and Ruby Riott and Ember Moon.
Yeah.
For the number one contender spot. And she and Ruby Riott had those matches where they had seemed to hate each other, and then she worked together with her, and then she was saving Ruby Riott for a while at NXT for no explicable reason, just to cause chaos. She just is a fun character where you're just like, she just comes out of nowhere and does fun stuff.
Yep. So
I really like, she's really entertaining and she's great in the ring.
Yeah.
And she, again, as she's kind of like shorter and, but more powerful on there. She's another one that doesn't fit the body type on there. She just does awesome stuff in the ring.
I think that's something too. Just the variety of women that we have now. Like obviously Lita and Trish were very fit in whatever. And I mean, every woman, every person who gets into a ring at WWE has to be fit on some level.
Like, yeah.
There's just such a wide variety of female body types now, when there used to be not as much variety. And I think that's really cool. Yeah, there's, Nikki Cross is short and stocky, and Nia Jax is tall and powerful. Charlotte is tall and strong.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I like Nikki Cross's theme song. Yeah. I like the tweaked sanity theme. The remixed
version.
Yeah. She's definitely different than anybody else.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting when she gets the main roster, for sure. I'm excited.
And I like the whole group of Sanity on there, but Nikki Cross is kind of the star for me of them.
Yeah, I like Sanity as well. I was a fan of Eric Young from watching TNA back when I would catch TNA. And then he had a show on Discovery where it was just him doing like crazy things. Like he went ice fishing with a bunch of dudes up in Alaska, and he would go surfboard fishing, just all these like weird outdoorsy kind of things. And I guess that's just like his personality. Like he likes doing kind of really weird, bizarre things. And that show made me like Eric Young even more, which then made me like him as a wrestler even more.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I'm ready for them to come up. And like I said, I think the situation right now, and the things that are getting popular and getting pushed right now are the perfect time. And I just want to see Nikki Cross just be insane and mess with, like we said on there, have her come in and mess with women's championship matches.
Yeah.
And just
kind of mess with everything.
Everything.
Yep. No, I dig that. And there's more than enough tag teams in NXT right now that losing Sanity would not be a loss.
Yeah.
You know, that there's, you got a lot going on with the Street Profits. You got stuff going on with the
Undisputed Era.
Thank you. Undisputed Era. You got TM61 coming back, who's now rebranded as the Mighty, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And then
Heavy Machinery.
They don't count.
But yeah, there's a lot going on.
They don't count, or they can't count.
Yeah. Both.
I like them. I mean, they kind of remind me of like the old school Steiner brothers. Like they're the big dudes running around doing stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if they'll have like massively long careers, or they might get up and kind of hit like the Mark Henry kind of role for a while, just be like the big guy who does something for a while. But I don't know. I guess we'll see.
Yeah. So Adam, tell us about what's going on next weekend.
Next weekend, well, actually this weekend.
Oh, this upcoming
weekend. Yes,
upcoming weekend.
It's the DWO Pain Rising, first show of 2018. We are going to be at a new venue, Cesar Chavez Community Center. I think probably front row is limited, if not sold out. Same thing with second row. General admission is still available, will be available even at the door. And it's going to be an awesome show. We're all going to be there doing our stuff. And we hope that you guys, if you're listening to this, if you don't know what Destiny Wrestling is, look it up. We're awesome. And there's a lot of stuff going on. And, yeah, it'll be something different, especially if you want something out of the ordinary with WWE. DWA will provide it to you.
Yep. Should be a good time. I'm excited.
I'm excited. I've been waiting for it since December, which was our last show. I was like, when are we going to have another one?
And the Blue Meanie is going to be there.
Yeah. Yep. It feels like it's been so long since the last show, and like this date was so far away, and now this date is here. Adam and I were talking before you got here that like it was so far away. Now it's like this weekend.
Yeah.
And that's crazy.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I'm pretty excited.
Final thoughts to share with our... very few, I guess, listeners. I don't know yet.
Pro wrestling is awesome.
I love it. Tell us.
Yep. Fact.
Alrighty.
Yep.
Music for this podcast is generously provided by Horse the Band. And be sure to always check us out and subscribe and rate and like us on Facebook and YouTube at Freebird Rule Pro Wrestling Podcast and Twitter at FBR Pro Wrestling Pod. All right, thank you. Thank you very much, everybody. Until next time. See you later. Bye-bye.